Yeah, I don't know. When I be in church, you know, the pastor would be having conversations about homosexuality and, you know, how it's wrong and this, that, and the other. But I'd be looking at my mom, and I'm looking at the choir director, and the choir director looked like, you know, the choir director looked like what the pastor talking about is wrong. So it was so confusing to me because it was like the elephant is in the room, and they would be saying all that, but then you have gay men in the church that are openly gay, at least to me visually, not saying that they're gay.
And when we say visually, what do you mean by that,
I
though?
mean by the way they talk, the way they move, the way they act,
Yeah,
you
they were
know.
giving Luther Vandross
They were
vibes.
giving Luther Vandross vibes.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. I know that's kind of like a wild thing to say because obviously I know, you know, gay men who aren't flamboyant.
Yeah.
They're just men who love other men. They don't act like any, they don't give off any feminine, you know, hey girl. But then I know gay men that do that too. And I'm
Yeah.
just saying from my experience, the choir director, I'm just saying using the choir director as an overall example, but he was extremely flamboyant. And I'm like, oh, I know he gay, he got to be gay. And then on top of him being gay, you just said gay ain't right. But your choir director looked like he gay. So make it make sense, because it seemed like you ignoring all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like the Christian.
Sorry.
Okay, yes.
Sorry. Okay.
I thought you were
Yeah.
going
Yeah. I'm gonna
to. All
jam.
right.
Welcome to episode 5 of Keep Me Different. I need you to make it make sense to me.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, and this is unfair for me to just put it all
I
on
know,
you.
it's a
Like,
big burden.
Michelle,
It's a big burden.
you're the representation of
Yeah.
make it all make sense. But I just think in the black community, we skim over homosexuality. And we
Yes.
just skim over it. You know, either we're 100% against it, or we're just like, I don't see, my son is good. He's straight. Give him a G.I. Joe. Don't buy him a Barbie.
Yeah, I feel like we do that. So I feel like, well, I also want to say before I say this, like, I don't think homosexuality is or I don't feel like homophobia is like a uniquely black thing,
Yeah.
but I think the repercussions of it are very intensely felt in black communities because we are already black, and then when you add the gayness as well, like, it's like a double, you become a double minority, right? So I feel
Yeah,
like,
damn, yeah.
and W.E.B. Du Bois would say this too, with like the double consciousness, where it's like we're always viewing ourselves through the eyes of the oppressor. So like black people are always like hyper aware of like how we look to white people and how we're viewed in white society, and like we're using that as a measuring tool to like know if we're like passing and like meeting this like social criteria in white society. So then when you add Christianity to that too, it's like another like guidebook of like what is proper behavior, what's not proper behavior. And I feel like it all just like falls under just respectability politics too, where it's like gayness doesn't fit neatly into that like desire to like climb the social ladder and be like respected members of society.
You know, that's interesting because listening to you talk about that, and we're, as you're saying that, the first thing that came up in my mind was, okay, then there's transgender. Because I remember going to a comedy show in Hollywood, and this is my first time hearing someone in the LGBTQ community, namely a lesbian, say
Yeah.
what she said to us. And she didn't have beef with transgender individuals, but she spoke like, well, we're even confused about that.
Yeah.
We're even confused. And then she was like, I feel
Yeah.
sorry for you breeders. I guess that's what they call heterosexual people. She's
Ah,
like,
breeders.
I feel sorry for you
Oh,
breeders because I can only imagine how you guys feel because we're even confused by that. And so now I'm scratching my head. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I was under the impression that you would champion the transgender community because they're part of your community.
Right.
But the way she was on stage talking, and obviously it was a bit of humor, but there's some truth in the humor. She gave me the impression that there's some people within the LGBTQ community that have issues with transgendered individuals.
Well, I feel like that just goes back to a lot of points, and especially the point here on like keep me different and why we're having these conversations is that there's not just one black experience. Like, there's not just one LGBTQ experience. There's not just one, you know what I mean? I think everyone has depth and their own experience and background that then, you know, continues to evolve and even question things. So her saying that is like, it's probably because of whatever group she's a part of in that LGBTQ space, is also layered with her own experiences with transgenders or lack thereof. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting in general, is just like, for me, I don't think I'm just passive. I'm very aware of transgender and the LGBTQ and all that, but my upbringing wasn't around a lot of those communities.
Yeah.
So my take and my perspective isn't against it. It's just that I don't know. I'm not educated enough to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, listening to you say that, I wonder how long we can use the, I don't know. Or I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I personally want to use it forever. Not forever, but I want to use it as long as I can use it. Simply because of the societal norms that I've grown up with. And saying, yo, my man. Or girl, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. I'm accustomed to saying it. And I found myself now in places where I'm talking to someone. And I'm like, homie, appreciate you. Dog, thanks. My dog, yeah. And then somebody's like, I don't think that's... a guy, I don't think. Right. And I'm like, well, the frustrated, old school, uneducated side of me is like, man, what the fuck, man? How the fuck am I supposed to know that shit?
Am I supposed to know? But is dog like gendered though? I feel like dog is
right.
There's no gender for that.
I agree, but the person I'm with corrected me because they felt like dog was gendering enough.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
well, that's when we get to like policing each other, and it's like over policing each other on those type of things. Like, again, yeah. If you come out like, and how you express yourself was very genuine and authentic to how you are, it's like,
yeah.
I didn't mean any disrespect when I said that. Yeah. It's how I talk. Yeah. Now that I know, I will be more educated on how I approach people, yes. You know? And that's what I was saying more about, like, my upbringing to where I'm at now and just being able to travel, experiences, different communities, all that, is that I'm way more aware than I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and it will continue to be that of things that I'm not very, I don't know a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't just know a lot of this, or I don't know. So I look to get educated by those that do know a lot of whatever the topic is, the community is. But yeah, it's an ongoing, I don't know, I think like just a conversation that needs to be had in the Black community.
Yeah, I think we're all learning together. And I think what we all, at least I know what I ask for, is some grace. If I fuck up your pronoun, do me a favor, don't attack me.
Yeah.
Because if you attack me, then I may get defensive, and then I'm not that I'm saying I would, but I may side with the side that I shouldn't side with. But man, fuck that shit, it's too confusing. It ain't my job to fucking decipher what and how you are and what orientation you are. I don't know that shit. And obviously that's coming from ignorance, because, you know, it's an old antiquated way of thinking. But when you attack me for fucking up your pronoun, then there's no communication. Right. All lines of communication are shut down, right?
That's a really good point. I feel like, so I definitely identify as like gender non-conforming. And for me, that just means like, I don't feel like I meet the societal criteria of like, what is a traditional woman or a heteronormative woman? And one time I was on a date with someone and they were like, okay, but like, but what is a traditional woman then? And it's like, okay, like, I know you know.
Semantics.
Yeah, semantics, right? Because he was like, oh yeah, like, well, what is a traditional woman? What's a traditional man? Now, we do know what these things are, just because like, if they didn't exist, then there wouldn't be such an uproar about transgender. If there was no traditional, like, we know that, like, there wouldn't be gender reveal parties. There wouldn't be girls wear dresses, boys wear pants, whatever. Like, if there was no traditional ideas of gender, like, then we wouldn't be here, right? So for him to be like, oh, but what is it, right? And it's like, I think people do that to like, kind of skirt away from like, having to deal with that there are norms and that some people don't meet them. And like, in their quest to feel like they're so accepting, they're quick to like, be like, oh, in my mind, it's like the people who are like, I don't see color, I don't see gender. Right. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
We are all like susceptible
and
to
you
these
need
things.
To.
Yeah.
To be aware and to understand and to see the differences and the similarities. Like, when people say that, it's very passive of, I don't see color,
oh,
or
totally.
I don't see gender.
Yeah.
Or although I think gender and just reading up more again on this topic of like understanding the difference between sex and gender.
Right, yeah.
And gender being more of an expression of your traditional ways of a certain sex of a male, female. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And how gender is now being challenged as a structure and something that was created and built and not something that's biological.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's like a little lesson here.
Yes.
Judith Butler, really famous queer scholar. She was the person, I believe her pronouns are she, I could be wrong, don't butcher me, don't crucify me. I don't know her pronouns, I don't know their pronouns there. But they, you know, their whole theory is that gender is a performance, right? So it's like male or female doesn't determine behavior. People learn to behave in certain ways that fit societal norms, right? Mm-hmm. So like gender can be seen as like a kind of like accumulation of like all these different behaviors that we do every day make up our gender expression, right? And like most people's gender expression is going to fall into like I want to behave or tend to behave this way because I'm a male, or I tend to behave this way because I'm a female. But then there's other people who they're what they call like assigned at birth, which is like maybe like biological sex, right? Like if you're assigned female at birth, assigned male at birth, that might not reflect your actual gender identity, right? And then your behavior might not fit neatly into that assigned category that you were assigned at birth. And that's when we get, you know, gender differences. And then you also get transgender people who would like to transition or no longer be associated with whatever they were assigned at birth. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, and this may be a controversial thing to say, but I think traditionally in the past, right? Look at everybody looking at me. Traditionally in the past, I'll make sure I say this right, when we were taught from an ignorant point of view, right, through ignorant spectacles, when we heard the term transgender, right, we would think, gosh, this is going to sound so fucked up. I would think when I was younger, oh, you talking about like the Santa Monica Boulevard, dusty Santa Monica Boulevard, prostitutes, sexual deviant.
Sex workers, sexual deviants.
Sexual deviant, all that
quote
stuff.
Quote, unquote, sexual deviants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anytime before I was educated, when I was younger, I would hear transgender or the negative word they would use, tranny. That's automatically what I would think about.
Right.
I'm driving down Santa Monica Boulevard and I see a dude with some fishnet tights on with his ass cheeks hanging out and a dusty wig with a purse. And I'm like, oh, that's transgender.
Right.
It was taught to us. It was packaged and delivered to me like that. So for all these years. So it takes a lot of unlearning. It takes a lot of unlearning to think like, okay.
But what's odd is like all of like trans people have existed for centuries. This is not a new phenomenon. There was transgender people in Greece. There was transgender people in a lot of Asian societies have like multiple genders. A lot of Native American communities, the Two-Spirit people.
Polynesian
communities. Yes, like it's
right?
Not that crazy. And to be honest, like, you know, let's say you grew up with someone who was described by others as a tomboy, that person might consider themselves non-binary today, right? Like we didn't have those terms back then or some of these terms originated in academia, I would say, like non-binary and things like that. So they weren't as accessible to like the everyday person, right? So that person might just been like, oh, they're a tomboy and like they play sports. So like, that's just like, I went to school with girls that were like that, right? Like they dressed kind of androgynous and we just knew them as like a tomboy, right? So it's not like that hard to think of that is a gender expression, right?
Yeah.
They're not dressing traditionally female. They're not dressing traditionally male. They're dressing somewhere in between. And we just use the catch-all phrase of a tomboy or they're athletic, whatever. But like their identity might feel that they are neither male or female. Like they are non-binary.
Yeah.
So it's like I think some of the terms are new, but like, I feel like if you look throughout history and throughout populations, like there's always going to be people whose gender doesn't fit neatly into a binary.
Yeah. And so with that being said, in a sense, that would be considered transgender.
So if they could be considered trans, yes, because if they felt like I knew someone who was non-binary or is non-binary, and they transitioned to being non-binary, and they described it as such. So they did identify with the trans community because they were assigned female at birth, and then they eventually became known to be, you know, pronouns they, them, non-binary. So they did describe that as a transition. So I'm going to respect that and consider them a trans person because they've self-identified. Yep. A lot of things too is like, the person will let you know what they identify as, and it's like not really your job to like question that. It's really like they're giving you information and you just got to go with it.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
The person will let you know, and it's not your job to question. You shouldn't question, but there's so many little things that happen that pop up that make you question.
Yeah,
like for instance, a friend of mine told me he was teaching an improv class. And you know how improvisation goes. You're labeling, you're yes-anding. So if we're all three improvising and I label Garen as a whiny crybaby, Garen can't tell me, no, I'm not a whiny crybaby, because that kills the fucking performance.
Right.
He has to be what I'm labeling him, right?
Yeah.
It's performative. So my boy was like, he called me. He's like, man, I got a person that identifies a particular pronoun in my class. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, how did it go? This is right at the beginning of the whole, you know, the woke movement stuff and everything. So everything was like, yo, hey, listen, hey, do whatever don't fight them. Listen. So he was like, I was trying to like accommodate them. Don't get canceled to the best of my ability. But he was like, man, I was doing real good. We were all doing real good. He was like, then they got on stage. And somebody labeled them a particular sex, and they broke character every single time. It was like, I am not a male, or I am not a female, whatever they said. And he was like, yeah, I know, but just for the sake of the performance and the improv, that's what you gotta be. And they were adamantly against it. Now, listen, we all know this is take the sexuality out of it. This is just a difficult person.
Right. Yeah.
This is a difficult person. But some people can weaponize it and wield it like a sword and do stuff like that. And for the sake of not being canceled or not seeming, I don't want to say sympathetic, but understanding or forward thinking, my boy was like, hey, whatever you want. You could be a turtle, you don't be a turtle, whatever. You could just blow the building up if you want to. I don't want no problems. And then I was telling him, I was like, man, that's bullshit. You got to explain to them that, you know, listen, this is a sketch. For the sake of the sketch, this is what you labeled.
So how does that play into like the conversation we were having around men actors wearing, or I think we were dressing up as women for different roles, and how that's looked at as more of like comedy and entertainment, but no one really pulls from that at the time until now.
That's a very good thing to talk about.
That's interesting. That's a great question. That's interesting because that only gets brought up with black performers, right?
Yeah.
Robin Williams can dress up as Mrs. Doubtfire. Billy Crystal can dress up like, you know, they can do all these things. But when black performers, when Martin dresses up as Big Mama, Dave talks about them wanting to put a skirt on him. I just saw an interview with Donnell Rawlings, and he was saying they want him to wear some booty shorts. We already feel pressure because we're like, are you already trying to oppress us? You're already trying to hold us down.
Right.
You're already trying to emasculate us. Back in the days, they used to rape us in front of the women. We ain't wearing no fucking skirts. Marlon Wayans caught a lot of heat because recently he was like, man, that's stupid. You can wear a skirt, whatever, whatever. I do somewhat agree with him, but I also feel like because we're in such a sensitive circumstance as black people, I can't wear the skirt, Playboy. I can't wear the skirt. Nor if things were even, if we were on equal ground, right? If it was 50-50 with black and white folks, maybe I'll wear the skirt. Maybe I'll dress up. But I can't do that.
But do you think that's also because of the perception of the black community and how they take that in?
100%.
Compared to how maybe other people of different races or white folks look at it?
100%. We this is going to sound really fucked up. We are not afforded that same
100%
ability. Just like if my white counterpart steals a Snickers bar, he's going to be released and get a tap on the hand. If I eat a Snickers bar, I might get a bullet in the calf. So, you know, we're just not afforded that same ability.
I'm going to unpack that a little bit because, like, are we not afforded, maybe we're not afforded the same ability, sure, but, like, are we also as people hyper-policing our own image and like, super protective of blackness and representations of blackness in popular media to the point where we are afraid of any representations that, like, veer out of whatever is, like, a good look, quote-unquote, to black people, right? And, like, I'm not going to defend, you know, like a Martin and stuff like that, because, like, that's like slapstick, right? Yeah, and it's like, yeah. I can't even really take that seriously like that, because, like, you're using cross-dressing as, like, a vehicle for laughter and, like, whatever, comedy. It's like, yeah. That's not even like, it's like a low-hanging fruit, and yeah. It's honestly a little lazy, and I feel like we're kind of moving, like, the only person really still doing that is, like, Tyler Perry, no yeah. shade, but,
yeah.
like, it's a little lazy. Oh, I'm just gonna dress up as a woman and, like, people are gonna laugh and it's so funny. Like, that's a little lazy, but I do think we as a community could benefit from just, like, expanding our minds and not being so judgmental of our own people of, like, okay, like, this person shouldn't take this role because it makes every black person look bad. Like, that's a big burden for every sure. black performer, mm-hmm. every, like, upcoming person. And I think it does hold us back a little bit because it's like, because all of those notions of like what is a good look or not a good look are coming from white supremacy.
You're right. You're right. All of it falls under the great, grand, big umbrella of don't embarrass us in front of these white folks.
Yeah, don't embarrass us in front of company, mixed company, right? Like,
don't embarrass us in front of company. All those things fall under that.
Yeah.
Don't wear no fucking dress. Don't do this, don't do that. And it's interesting because you say we police ourselves a little bit. We police our blackness and whatnot. I find that really interesting because the things that we should be policing correctly, we don't police.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we should be policing the culture. We shouldn't right. be inviting I hate the term.
Everybody to the
barbecue. Yeah. Man, I hate when they be like, Adele invited to the barbecue. All right, we're going to invite so many white people to the barbecue. It's going to be all white people to the barbecue and we're going to be outside the barbecue.
Yeah. yeah.
So, we don't police the correct things, but we police the shit out of each other. And you're right. That is yes. a huge burden to where you're about. You may get a role like Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger can do Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And none of the white people say, man, they gay as hell. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Two black actors do Jonathan Majors and Michael B. Jordan take a picture over one another's shoulder. And they're like, you some gay ass shit, man.
That was like the Brokeback Mountain, too, yeah. was like used as joking.
Yeah.
Like, if you were too close with your boy yeah, or whatever, became, you know, like, it became a thing.
Homophobic yeah. thing, yeah. yeah. I feel like Moonlight was honestly, like, so boundary pushing for that reason.
For
like,
sure. Moonlight was...
Because those actors are still acting now, and it didn't, like, damage their career, which I know that probably decades before, people were like, you're never going to come back after that. You're never going to be able to play a straight male and be taken seriously after. And, like, both parties have been able to do that.
And I would say, like, there's strides, though, and mm-hmm. I would say in our community that are getting us to move forward with just the comfortability of, I know we have a long ways to go, but just in, yeah. like, Moonlight and other kind of things. There was another show on Showtime or Stars mm-hmm. that they got pretty heavy on in, like, homosexuality and things of that nature.
P-Valley.
Yes.
Oh,
like, you
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, although... That's still entertainment and all that. There's, again, 5, 10 years ago or 10, 20 years ago, that would probably have never happened in yeah. the sense of an actor being able to continue his career off of a role that he played because of,
yeah,
you know,
I think to go back to what Michelle said, I want you guys to chime in on this. I think the way Barry Jenkins delivered that story to us, visually, cinematically, yeah. story, You couldn't pigeonhole it because the
characters were dynamic. That's why. So when you do like the slapstick and just like, oh, I'm just gonna like cross dress, right. those characters are flat. Like, you know, people like the two characters in Moonlight. Like, yeah, we know right. those people. We know, like, a lot of black people are going to know someone who's, like, dealing drugs and, like, kind of tough exterior, but maybe they are gay. Like, yeah. like, these are characters that people probably have seen in their lifetime as a black person. So they're yeah. just so multidimensional. It's, like, hard to, like, pigeonhole them into one thing, you know? And then I also think, you know, shout out to Michael K. Williams, The Wire. Like, if he didn't play that yeah, role, right. I don't think a Moonlight could ever exist. Nah, because that was the right, first right. that I knew in my time of, like, a kind of, like, street dude that's also gay and, like, selling drugs. But he's also, like, I, you know, this is my boyfriend. Like, I respected yeah. that so much.
It was
I was
some
like,
gangster shit.
Yeah. But you know, he would still fight you, though. Yeah.
Omar coming.
He would kill
everybody
you.
Was shit. I think, yeah. I think it showed how you can live in both of those worlds. When I was young, I got a role like that, and I went to my acting teacher, who was a big, you know, boisterous Latino gay man, and I was like, "Hey, yo, you know, I just booked this job," and it's called the DL Chronicles. It's a popular anthology series in the LGBTQ community. I didn't even know it was that huge, but it was huge, and I was gonna shoot the second episode, so I went to my acting teacher and I was like, "Hey, I booked this job, but I don't want to." This is a gay man I'm talking to. I was like, "I don't want to do this because you know I gotta be in sexual situations with men and whatever." And I was like, "I don't want to do it." And he was like, "Who the fuck are you?" And I was like, "What you mean? I'm O'Neal." He's like, "No. Who are you? Are you some big name where you can turn down jobs?" He's like, "It's
oh,
about
he
the
right, though.
Yeah, he was like, "It's about the story."
He's like, "You're trying to eat or what?"
Yeah. He's like, "It's about the story, and you have to be true to telling the story. You worried about the wrong things."
Yeah, he's it.
I shot this, right? I didn't think anything of it. Months later, I'm driving down La Brea, right? Mm. Where that church is, on La Brea on the corner of Melrose. I look up, and there's this fucking gigantic billboard of me with my shirt off like this.
Hey.
Right? And they're advertising this. So I'm like, what the fuck? That year following, every gay man that I came within the vicinity of, black or white, was running up on me, asking me, "Oh, we love it." And I'm like, what the fuck? But I'm young, so I'm embarrassed. I'm like, man, why nobody talking to me about this? You know what I'm saying? And they're calling me the character's name. And the directors who have gone on to do great stuff, now they're doing the Shy stuff and all that, they were like, "Yo, there's both billboards of you in Amsterdam and all this stuff." People were reaching out to me on Facebook and asking me to speak at, you know, LGBTQ conferences.
Oh,
and
my God.
Stuff. I said no.
Yeah, but that would be weird because, like, unless you're like identified as the community,
right.
Exactly. Weird.
Yeah. So I avoided. I shunned all of that shit. Right. Yeah. All of that shit. Years had passed later, and then they sent me an article, and they were like, "Yo, the top gay characters on television in the last umpteen amount of years," and they had Michael K.
Williams,
and they put my character on there, and I was like, "What the fuck?" And obviously, the rest of the people on there were big names. And they went in on me. They were like, "Yo, we loved whatever. But sadly, we haven't seen him do anything else anymore." But I was looking at this shit like, man, people gonna think I'm gay. All I kept on thinking was, as a black man, like, man, people gonna think I'm gay.
But what would that mean if they thought right. you were gay? How would that change your life?
At the time, I just didn't want the burden of being, you know, man, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're Jamaican.
Oh,
you know,
Jamaican.
My mom
yeah.
reached out to me.
No,
she's like,
I
my father
you.
Was like, "Yo, Neil Abateman, he's Abateman, you know. And become Abateman, you know." You know, it's all that weird stuff. And I'm like, man.
Did you have to explain just the role and everything to your parents?
My mom didn't care. And I didn't explain it to my father because my father's an old school Jamaican guy.
He's never going
to. Yeah. He's looking at me. Forever, he's going to be looking at me like, this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? I can tell you that. While shooting and having to simulate sexual situations and all that stuff, even though I didn't have to, listen to me, I'm still explaining myself. I didn't have to kiss no man. I felt weird, man. I felt weird because I was like, this is strange. We don't do this in the black community.
Yeah.
Whereas our white counterparts, man, them motherfuckers go. They just do whatever and they do whatever and they go back to their families, their wives, their kids, and they just live their lives. And I'm like, man, it's such a burden to have to carry that being black. Cause you're like, man, god damn, I just want to perform and do my thing. Why can't I move through this space like this motherfucker moving through this space?
Right.
But you're moving with your whole black community. They're all on your
yeah.
shoulder. And they're all whispering
I
like,
that.
We don't do that. I know you ain't gonna do that. That's what they do. You know?
But then the thing is too, it's like, I'm not saying everything should be about money, but like, like, if you're working, if you're like a struggling actor and this is like a huge opportunity, right? And like, as that person said, like, who are you to turn down something too, right? It's like, so we don't, it's interesting too. It's like, okay, like, if your friend is an actor and gets casted as like a hood dude, y'all are fine with that. And that's like a stereotype, right? Like, yes. That's a very one-dimensional character. Yes. We know this person, like, it doesn't push any envelopes or whatever. No one's saying anything about that, but then you do this and it's like, nah, that's too much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, if you got casted as a super stereotypical character for like a Tyler Perry movie, fine.
Fine, yeah.
No comments, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's part of like the hyper-policing thing. And like, it's funny that the show is called like the DL, right?
DL Crown.
So I feel like a lot of the hyper-policing did come out during like the Down Low movement. Do you remember the Down Low movement? Oh my God. Everyone thought, yeah. It was like, oh my God, like, am I dating someone who's secretly gay? That, I feel like, was very damaging for the Black community. Like, we're so on edge, like, oh my God, like, maybe this guy I'm dating is, like, actually gay. And it's like, I feel like we're now at a place where we realize sexuality is fluid, though, right? And it's like, there's, I really don't believe anyone is, like, 100% straight in like how they express sexuality and how they express gender. Like, no one is going to be like this like prototypical straight person. Like,
sexually.
Well, not necessarily. So like, okay, like, I'm gonna throw out my mom and dad here. So like, my dad always had style, and he was, and he still does. And he's not like afraid to express himself through style. So sometimes my dad would wear certain shoes, and my dad's Guyanese, both my parents West Indian, and my mom be like, oh, your father got on those gay shoes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why does he have to now be gay because he wears a certain shoe?
Yeah,
that's like not straight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we have to start unpacking like these assumptions of like, oh, like, only right. a gay person would wear that. And like, the, like, yeah. what is that?
What does
like,
that mean?
Yeah. yeah. What yeah. does that mean? Like, also, like, is Young Thug gay? Right. Like, right. he's like, yo, I'm going to wear whatever I want.
Yeah.
And he's also a hood dude, though. He's yeah. on trial, you know, like, he's about that life. Right. But like, he will wear whatever he wants.
But
right?
well, about the Young Thug thing.
Yeah.
Or the Diddy thing that's going on right now. Also, because, you know, here's
oh,
the thing.
Yeah.
We act as if, not even just Black people, but just human beings in general, we act like two things can't be occurring in
yes.
someone at the same yeah. fucking time.
Two things
we act like if you're gay, you can't be scary or a killer or something like that, or
yeah.
vice versa. What are we talking about here?
Right.
We're human beings. I remember seeing T.I. on The Breakfast Club, and they were asking him something that he did that was obviously, you know, what's the term you use when you... I can't remember the term, but he said something to the effect, it was beautiful, his response. He's like, I could love you, slap you in the face, give you some money, commit a crime,
right.
all in the same time. I'm not just one thing,
yeah, yeah.
you know? And I was like, that's true. No one is just
no
one,
one
thing.
No one is one thing,
so
yeah.
when you don't fit the bill for me and I go off on you, you gotta be looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes, bless you. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm melancholy, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I might, I want to just go somewhere. Sometimes I don't. Why am I not afforded the ability to go through these range of feelings and emotions and all these things? Why must I be this? I just think as a society, we are in love with saying, you, Garen, I know you to be a quiet, soft-spoken
yeah, yeah.
dude. I don't never want to see you hype or
right.
celebrating.
Yeah.
Or Michelle, I know you for always being so articulate and saying smart things. If you ever say some dumb shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna chastise you because
yeah.
you're smart, Michelle.
Yeah.
Don't be smart, Michelle. Or O'Neal. I know you for being really muscular, good looking, well
dressed.
Sorry, I try. I'm insecure, man. I'm dealing with a lot.
Really, oh my God. It's okay. It's a safe space.
It's a safe space.
Yeah,
safe
space.
I just wanted to creep that in there. So I thought y'all was gonna back me up, but y'all start laughing and shit. Mm. That says a lot about our friendship. Yeah. About sexuality being fluid, Michelle. This leads me to a question that I want to ask, and we're just gonna have to pick this up in episode 6, because you just made me think of something about when you said no one is 100%. What did you say?
I don't think anyone's really 100% straight.
No one is 100% straight. I would like to push back from a old school, antiquated way of thinking manner, if you don't mind, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but we'll pick that up in episode 6.
Okay.
It's been Keep Me Different. We'd like you to like, we'd like you to subscribe, And also take a gander at this wonderful, wonderful painting behind us by Harmonia Rosales. Check her out. We'll put her IG up on the page. And this has been Keep Me Different.